Laura Carrera, bonjour. Merci d'avoir accepté notre invitation dans le sous-marin. Thanks for agreeing to talk to us to Radio Campus Angers. Unfolding is your first film. How personal is the story? Is a little bit of the story, your own story. I believe you moved to Scotland at 18.
Yeah, so thank you for your question. It is part personal for sure. So I moved to Scotland when I was 18, and that was the period when I got my first jobs. And I think that experience immediately changed the way I see my future. And it made me really start hating work. And just how much we kind of normalize just, you know, our entire lives is defined by work. And we talk sometimes very little about that. This film started out from research I was doing in my previous shorts, which I was looking at gig economy, and that led me to read about pickers and the logistics industry, which is an industry rife with precarious work. And then the more I kind of interviewed and spoke to people who did the job of a picker, the more I realized a lot of them are migrant workers. So huge proportion in the UK. So that made me think I could write a film, you know, about a Portuguese character, because that was my own experience as well of moving to the UK and, you know, being a migrant and working there. And I knew that there was this feeling of like having your life reduced to just work and, you know, not having really the social ties like you would have in your own country. And I think this feeling I knew I could bring into the film. And I think it was also like important to look at that. Yeah.
Yes. Do you want to question our relationship to work if we spend our entire life doing a job that is just giving us enough to keep on going? Who are we apart free from that job? Aurora's identity is threatened.
Yeah, I mean, her identity is completely attached to the job. And I guess it's also about how the job is so consuming that it's very hard for her to develop an identity even at the borders, you know. And that to me was something that it was a recurrent topic that I think came up during these conversations I was having with pickers. So, for example, even one of the lines in the film is that, you know, her colleague says, "I do the laundry," as an answer to what he does. And that was something that was said to me when I asked, you know, "What do you do after at the end of the shift?" And one of the pickers replied, "I do the laundry." And that to me just seemed such a simple thing to say, and, you know, every day. But I think it reveals something about, you know, the limits of what you can reach, you know, in your free time as well. You know, when so much of your free time is actually dedicated to getting ready to work the next day.
You denounce the economic system, which uses the most precarious. Aurora's story questioned the human cost of this system. Why migrants are even more vulnerable to this economic system?
Well, I think, you know, one is to do with salaries, you know, but I also think it's these, you know, it's a vulnerability that comes from your position in society. You know, when you have very little ties, you're exposed a lot more to the brutality, really, of the system. And that was something that, you know, I saw over and over again. You know, if you don't have social ties and family ties, it's the reason why you can do 10-hour shifts, you know, because you go home and you rest and you come back. But it also limits, you know, the potential of what your life could be. So it's kind of, it is a really tricky kind of balance. But I think wanting to portrait migrant lives really came from the research, you know, and realizing, okay, you know, these, just like the job is kind of hidden from the consumer, I think it's, people don't realize also the, you know, the amount, a number of migrants that work in these jobs. And obviously, having lived in the UK for the last 12 years, having experienced Brexit and this entire narrative, you know, that is very anti-migration, I think it's important to see that actually migrants are kind of the back of the economy in the UK. And it was important to show that, because people sometimes I don't think they realize. Yeah.
Why don't we know more about her past and her backstory?
Well, I intentionally kind of didn't go into her backstory in the film. And that was, to me, it was important for a few reasons. One is because I think she's going through such a difficult week that I almost didn't want her to reach out to Portugal. And I think, you know, this was something that, you know, got questioned even during the script writing process. But I think, you know, in the space of a week, sometimes when you're at your most vulnerable is when you kind of don't want to admit it. And especially as a migrant, always moving to another country comes with this idea of like finding a better life. And she's a character that doesn't share a lot. You know, she's not sharing with others that she's struggling to make ends meet. She's like, she's not really communicating her needs that much. And so I have a feeling it's almost this element of shame was also important to bring to her kind of avoiding connecting with Portugal. But I think it raises the question of, like, you know, there's many different Auroras that could exist that have different backgrounds and different histories. And that was also important for me to look at. You know, there's you can be in different, you can have different pasts and still live the life of Aurora. So yeah, it was almost like I thought it was important to not look at her past. Yeah.
Is what freedom is to be able to make choices, to choose. It seems that Aurora doesn't have any choice. She's powerless.
Yeah, I guess that comes from this like narrative that we live in, that it's like, you know, whatever you want to do, you can do it, you know, go and get it. And I think it's very misguided, and it sort of places the blame on the individual, you know. It's and I think it's very flawed. And I think with this film, that was part of what I wanted to look at. It's our economic system is sort of defined by the sense of freedom. But, you know, I think a lot of the times is we're talking about freedom of markets. But actually, when we look at people, their lives aren't really that free, you know. And you look at that even to different degrees. You know, Aurora is obviously in a moment that is very vulnerable. But I think for as long as you need a job to make ends meet and to put a roof over your head, you're not free, really. And yet we accept that as freedom. Yeah.
You said in an interview at the San Sebastian Festival that it was very important for you in a system that is trying to put us against each other to show characters who ask her how she is and who try to help her.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, for sure. I think it's very easy to fall into the idea that, you know, people only care about themselves and people only look after their own interests. And, you know, this comes from this idea that, you know, yeah, you live in a sort of competitive market where you need to, like, fight everyone around you. And I think that can be a very isolating feeling when you feel like you live in a world like that. But I don't think that is the case. And, you know, something as simple as her being on the ground and a stranger popping by and making sure she's okay, I think that reveals our true nature, you know, and that shows that we, you know, at our hearts, we really do care for each other. It's just that in the way that we live, we rarely have the opportunities to show it. And we are not organizing our lives around caring for each other, for sure. I think it's important to keep reminding ourselves that there's other ways of living that could potentially match more the way we feel towards each other than the current one. Yeah.
What about the last scene? Aurora, is trying to play with her colleagues.
Yeah, so I didn't want to have a very depressive ending. And in reality, she was going to go back to work. And I just thought that is a really sad ending. But I knew, you know, the film happens in the space of a week and a half, so in reality her life isn't going to change immediately. So I knew I needed to show her going back to work. So I struggled for a while, and I wrote different scenes, and I wasn't sure how to bring a little bit of hope into this at the end. And around that time, Picker started reaching out to me again. So this was kind of in the very late stages of writing. And there was one day where several got in touch and said, oh, something happened in our warehouses that we thought you'd maybe find interesting, because at this point I had been having loads of conversations about different things. And they said that their system was down, and managers didn't know when it was going to go back up. So when people were reaching were getting to work, they were just hanging out and waiting for the system to go back up. And they talked about the day with so much kind of enthusiasm. And, you know, they were talking about how humanizing it was to, like, find out even colleagues' names for the first time, which seemed like such a simple thing that you think it's so basic and that they were even craving for. And they were playing games, and they were even hanging out with their managers. And it just seemed like, oh, all of a sudden this entire, you know, work structure was, like, deconstructed, and people were having fun and relating to each other as humans. So I thought maybe that is the way I could end the film, you know, kind of a window into what could be, and also kind of a reminder that the system does break down at points, and that, you know, we are free to kind of recreate ourselves if we have the opportunity. Yeah.
What movies inspire you to make this film and Aurora's character? I know that you met other Picker. And what is your relationship with Ken Loach?
Well, yeah, many films have influenced me ever since I discovered my love for cinema. And definitely the work of Ken Loach and Darden Brothers, they were there from very early on as films that I looked up to and, you know, that I could, you know, dream of one day trying to even make something close to it. For this film in particular, though, there was three films that sort of stayed with me in the making. One was Wanda by Barbara Loudon. And I think her, the main character and Aurora have similarities in the way they relate to the world. And there was also Il Posto by Ermanno Olmi, which again, I think the main character also had similarities. And The Knights of Cabiria by Fellini. So these three films were films I discovered during the writing, and I felt they were sort of distant relatives. And obviously there was other films that also related to the film, but it may be more of like as a visual reference. For example, John Dielman was a visual reference that I carried a lot. I mean, I love cinema, so it's almost hard to count the many different influences.
Unfolding is based on a contemplative rhythm. Why did you choose this approach?
I guess because the character is on her own, you know, and her main interactions are very superficial, you know, to the degree they're very small talk. I thought it was important to almost take a route that would allow us to see the world through her perspective. And, you know, part of that is seeing the people around her, seeing small details of her life. And, you know, those are almost quiet moments where we get a lot of information of what she's going through. So to me, it was almost it wasn't a particular choice that I made very early on. I think it was just as I was writing the character, I realized so much was going to have to be done visually to a degree. Like in terms of the food, for example, she doesn't ask for help. She doesn't ask for money, for example, out of anyone around her. So the only way I could really kind of pursue the idea that she's struggling was to show details of her struggle. So I think maybe that's where that sense of kind of, you know, the film being more introspective comes from. Yeah, she's a very quiet character, so it forced me to do the film that way.
So Aurora prefers to fix her broken phone, even though it is expensive, rather than buy food. What does this choice say about her priorities or psychological state?
Yeah, I mean, the phone is really her best friend through the movie. And it's almost like she doesn't realize how close to the line she is. And then when the phone breaks, you can see how it's it's an essential item today. You know, even when I was speaking to pickers, a big thing was how a lot of the times they would, if they needed to check their shifts and, you know, if it had changed, it would all be done through an app, you know, so the managers would be very kind of, you know, actually there's a scene in the film about that when she asks for a day off and the managers are you need to do it in the app, if it's not in the app. So this to me also showed how it's an item that's become essential really for her. And it's really her, it's her closest friend. And I think at that point, she knows she needs that phone, you know, maybe more than she needs food. And then we see how throughout the film, she's trying to find, you know, ways of eating anything that she can. But yeah, I don't know. It was something that was really questioned during the script writing, actually. But, you know, I also thought it's important to show that, you know, when you're experiencing poverty, it's not something that sometimes you realize you're experiencing to a degree. And the choices that you might make are choices that are influenced by how you're feeling at that time. And that to me, it was important to show that the phone at that point might be more important than food for her.
Your cinema is influenced by Ken Loach. A difference is the notion of hope. It found only very little or less strong in Unfolding. Why this choice?
So you think there's less hope in mine?
Yes.
No way! I don't think it was a choice I did consciously. You know, I think a lot of the film was written influenced by the conversations I was having. And I think one of the aspects was how difficult the job was, not just physically, but psychologically. And that to me was important, you know, to show the cost of what this job has on people's sense of self and, you know, how they experience the world. And a lot of pickers, for example, I would ask, you know, you know, are you looking for other jobs? And sometimes it'd be like, you know, I'm kind of too tired to do it at the time, and I don't know if a job, if a new job is going to fix this. So there was almost a real sense of like the danger of losing hope when you're this isolated. So that to me was important to convey into the film. And yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it was the reality I encountered, and it felt like I needed to preserve it, even if it was seen as a little depressive. But yeah, I mean, I think I'd be like, well, let's change the job, you know, and not the film, if that's the change we want to see. And I think also it's important to like look at hope in maybe other ways. So I tried to bring that into the film, so the people around her, even though they can't really care for her, they are also not really contributing to her like misery, you know. And I think that would have been a really easy thing to like portray managers as like really mean, and you know, like the people in her flat also in the same way. But for me, it was really crucial that I got to portray her struggle without putting the blame on the people around her. And that was something I really wanted to preserve, and I wanted to bring in moments of like kindness from strangers. Yeah, so hopefully I brought a little bit of hope from that.
In France, for a film called Vin Dieu, Louis Courvoisier was charged or actor directly in their workplace, on their workplace. Ken Loach liked that too, the link between the life and the roles of the actor. Is that the case here?
Well, for the main actress, no. So Joana Santos is a really experienced actress, and the work I did with her was mainly kind of sharing with her the research I had done. But yeah, during script writing, most of the scenes were influenced by, you know, conversations I had with Picker. So a lot of that came from almost like a documentary style research. And then in terms of actors, about half of the people who participate in the film are non-actors. And quite a number of them are people who worked in the past or present as pickers. So from one degree or another, we really wanted to bring people to act roles that they had experience in. So yeah, that was something that, because I got to work with 16 films, they were very open to allow me to work with non-actors, which is not always the case. But their experience, you know, taught them that you get amazing results out of it, out of people that get to tell their own stories. And I think we also found that in this film, yeah.
The light, take an important place in your film, in my opinion.
The light, yes.
It is attached to the reality of Aurora. Scenes often turn to a strong right, similar like an industry neon. We have also a lot of blue, the favorite colors of Aurora. It's a choice.
Yeah, I mean, it was also a choice to like avoid daylight, because that was something that I kept being told, you know, like when the shifts are so long, you get to work before the sun rises, and when you leave, the sun has already set. So you're not exposed to like natural light, you know, to the sunlight. So that was a key aspect. But then also like the colors, obviously the warehouses are, you know, very kind of dark and like metallic looking, and you know, the colors seem very kind of samey. And that felt, it was also sort of in a way similar to the flat. And the flat to me had to be beige, because like all the flats in Scotland that are owned by landlords are this sort of color. It's like, I could really relate to that. So I was like, the flat has to be beige. And so I think at the end of the film, I realized how actually we had very little color kind of coming out of nowhere. And the blue eyeshadow is probably like one of the brightest kind of, you know, colors in the film, really. And yeah, I think, again, I think we were influenced by the spaces that we ended up filming in. And so much of the film happens, you know, between the house and work, that the colors then become very limited. And potentially, like, there's also a little bit more colors in, you know, when she's out in the world, like in the shopping and the center and in the nightclub. It's almost like actually the colors come from these new spaces that she inhabits. And I guess because of that contrast, it feels quite refreshing when we do see a little bit of like life outside of her routine. Yeah.